screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, what it do, baby?
I like that. Hit the mics again, man. You know what I'm saying? No, hit the mics. Let's just
no. Yeah, that's a good visual, but it just goes silent on the radio. We appreciate y'all, man. Welcome into the Tuesday, July 8th edition of D'Lo and KC. It was 113 last year at this time.
Woo!
I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
Of
alongside, he's got multiple jobs this week.
Well, he does.
The busiest person over the next 3 weeks is Jesse.
Shout out Jesse Tapp.
James gone, KC gone, D-Lo gone.
Shout out Jesse Tapp.
At some point, Jesse's going to be like, I'm gone.
Should be, man. Get it in right now. I
need the King schedule just to make sure. Like, hey, Jesse's getting married on a weekday. We ain't working that day.
No.
We're celebrating our boy.
Nah, it could be Kings Lakers. We celebrating the Brody.
See Jesse up there in dress shoes and
it's gonna be weird.
Couple tears Couple tears falling down for sure.
Yeah. It's gonna be weird wearing dress shoes or weird?
Nah, just like all that attention stuff like that.
Oh yeah, you hate that.
Yeah. I saw a meme the other day. It's like when you're introvert and you're at an event, but it's for you and it's your wedding, and this dude's just freaking out.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah,
that'll be a good time. Tough. I'm excited.
It'd be all you people there, man. It'd be a great time.
It is.
It's months away, but still, it'd be a great time.
Months away. It feels like minutes, though.
It is.
Well, yeah, for you, I'm sure it feels like it's tomorrow.
The best, one of the best days of your life.
Yeah.
At least it was for me.
That was a great day. I had a great time at your wedding.
It was a blur.
Good.
I woke up, next thing I knew, it was 5 p.m.
Good for both of you. You're only going to do it once. Some of us.
I said, I'm done.
I just got to keep trying.
try again.
Say, I'm going to find love. God damn it. I'm going to find love. I ain't doing that. I ain't doing a wedding, though, again. I mean, I will, but not like that. It'll be.
Weren't y'all downtown or something like that?
I've tried to put. Huh?
Weren't y'all downtown? I've only seen one picture. It looked like y'all were like.
The one that's on the internet? No, that was Arden Hills Country Club.
Oh, okay. Looked really nice. Well,
it was gorgeous.
One picture I saw.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was a great day. I don't regret a second of it. Mm-hmm. But you know, life
stuff happens.
Yeah.
Life happens. So.
The next one, I was like, man, let's do a surprise wedding. We just invite people over, and if they don't come, they don't come. But hey, look, they're getting married. And man, that idea has been run by 50 people, and we've gotten 50 different responses. Forget it. Forget it.
Surprise wedding.
Let's go have fun at Jesse's wedding.
Yeah. Don't propose at Jesse's wedding, though.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
I'm with it. I'm going to tell you what. Someone get tacos.
Hey, you want to take the attention off of you?
That always pisses me off about best man. That's what he proposed to Sanaa Lathan at the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
That's so disrespectful.
You want to do this here today?
And Morris Chestnut just. I mean, Morris Chestnut hated him for a variety of reasons. But, yeah.
So disrespectful. Oh, man. I ain't even the bride and I feel that way.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I would jazz throw you out of my wedding.
Not jazz, you're jazz. Jazz from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure jazz would throw someone out of
the wedding. I'm sure jazz threw someone out of the wedding at some point.
Absolutely.
Wait, hold on. Who wrote that? Oh, it was Cousin Pete. Cousin Pete said, my wedding was dope, but now divorced, so F that wedding.
Oh! Oh, jeez.
Oh man, Johnny G says surprise live show wedding at Sky River Casino. Well, I guess.
Surprise live show wedding.
Nah.
Me and Crystal walking the aisle into 32 Brews.
Yep. Yep. In the chatty house there, led by Drew Down. Jesse! Jesse! Jesse!
Hey, Jesse, congratulations, big dog! I'm right in front.
And that's in the middle of Jesse's vows. Drew Down just yelling congratulations. He was trying to whisper it to his wife, but, you know, Drew Down can't whisper. So he just winds up echoing through the...
Here you go. Wow, this is all so nice, huh? Talking to the person next to him.
I bet my wife wishes...
Chris will be the first person to file divorce papers at the wedding. Like, forget it, man. Forget
my
it.
My wife wishes I spoke loud like Drew Down. She said, start mumbling, don't know what I'm saying. I'm like, I am speaking up. What you want me to do?
You do talk. Spoken. I think you and I, when the mics... Well, you do it when the mics are on. But you and I, when the mics are off, I think we both talk pretty softly. Mm. And, you know, Katie will often say, like, you know, I can't hear you when you talk, right? And then I find myself, like, at, you know, 5 o'clock, especially when you get into, like, Thursday, Friday,
yeah.
We'll be in the middle of a conversation, and I just can't hear what you're saying anymore. So as soon as you stop talking, because I just lost track of what you were saying so long ago, I just hit him with, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm out of words by Wednesday.
I'm out of words by 4:05. Come on, man. We got tickets Wednesday to give away.
Just trying to make it for the rest of the week. Love what I do, though.
See, now Aldo gets the show. Aldo says, what if someone runs into the wedding with a money in the bank briefcase during the vows? Well, but the good thing about Jesse and Crystal, they've been together for 2 decades. Crystal ain't got no one to cash in the... They've been together too long.
Married for, wow. That was just official.
There ain't no Dwayne Wade going there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. One of the great shows, great moments of all time.
Oh, iconic. Iconic.
That's the other thing. Look, everybody get married how you get married. But, my wedding's not a comedy show. All right? We're not walking into the ring and taking our vows. No. It's a very nice, elegant affair.
It was. It was rich.
It was not rich.
It was pretty
rich. Where did you get that
from? Pretty rich.
My favorite part of the wedding was when Kenny did it like Michael Jackson at halftime of the Super Bowl. Just stood there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even joking, by the way. Like, you can laugh, Kenny, but like, you just kind of stood there, and he's taking in the moment.
Yeah,
that's all I was doing.
And he's doing that thing where like the Rock kind of does the people's eyebrow. And he's kind of looking around.
Yep.
And the crowd's like, well,
not everybody did.
Yeah.
And I don't know who did it, but I think it was Cheryl and El Grove. Someone said, "Boy, get down the aisle."
No joke. Kenny stood there for a good 5 minutes.
Y'all should have seen this, man. You couldn't tell Casey that it wasn't his moment.
Hey,
this boy walked up. The theme music is playing, and he kind of stopped. No, you're right. It's like The Rock. He stopped.
I told you.
He stopped, and he's
The Rock.
He's looking around, and he takes a couple of steps, and then he turns and looks back. And this was about the time that I heard someone from the family section say, boy, if you don't walk down that aisle.
Mind your business. Mind your business.
Hey, man, let my man have his moment.
Man, that blazer was one of my... That's
white?
Yeah, white with the... I forgot the official name for it, but it's like the bandana print. I can't remember the official name for it. But it's one of my favorite articles of clothing I own. That's the best. That tux is the best. I love that tux. I mean, obviously, you got... sentimental reasons as well, but I just thought they knocked it out of the park. Shout out to my people, the Soup Bros down in Los Angeles.
Can you wear that again?
You can. I won't. Never will.
You just have it on like a Kenny size mannequin in your closet.
And that's what I need. Yeah. That would be dope. That's what I should do.
Here's
hanging in the closet.
Is the
right
dress
now.
in a like a big insulated box?
No. There's I forgot what she said she's got to do with the dress. She but something's gonna happen to it. Mm.
Here's the wedding or the video from Kenny's wedding right here. Hold on, let me pull it up. Kenny, right here. Kenny pops up right here.
Yeah. There he is. Yeah. Here comes Kenny.
There he is. This was Kenny. That was Kenny.
No. I don't think Kenny is wedding, bro.
I'm not even joking.
I don't think it is.
This was Kenny legit.
Hey, man, don't listen to this guy.
I don't think it's Cap.
For a cool few minutes. Like, where's Jazz?
See, I don't know if Mike does it here, but I know he did it on the tour where he's got the glasses on. So the crowd's doing the big reaction right now. This is Pasadena, right?
Yeah.
Crowd's doing the big reaction. And then you know how he gets the second reaction? Just like KC did at the wedding. He takes the glasses off, gets the second big pop.
Wow.
Hey, man, don't listen to these dudes. That was fire, though. That was unbelievable.
But Mike or your wedding?
Mike. Oh, yeah, Mike. That was iconic. That's how you do it right there.
Boy, if you don't get your butt down the aisle.
Mind your business. Relax.
Yes. Weddings were written into segment one. Why do you ask?
Will Jonathan Kuminga and the Kings get married?
Oh, there you go. Look at that pro.
Find out next on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Yeah, we were talking about Michael Jackson during the commercial break. Sure, yes, all a part of the plan. I don't know why you think this show is not planned out to the T.
Weddings and Michael Jackson.
Yes, just as it's written in the show.
Clip that.
Weddings and Michael Jackson.
The best of D-Lo and this week in D-Lo and KC every Sunday morning on YouTube. You'll rehash this.
No, why not? Why not, man? And as Jesse said, will Jonathan Kuminga and the Sacramento Kings get married? Mm. I feel like they won't, but I don't know what's going to happen with this Jonathan Kuminga situation. I mean, I don't know if someone is, I can't envision the Warriors bringing him back. I don't know. Like I want to be careful too, because prior to whatever the hell went on Wednesday night, we talked regularly. I don't see a path. Of course, Tuesday, I thought Kuminga's market was different. Mm-hmm. I thought the dollar figures in the market were a lot different than what they appear to be. This NBA market is crazy. Mm. We have never, ever, 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 ever seen an NBA free agency, certainly within the last decade, ever seen one like this.
Your boy Draymond was on Threads talking about it.
And he was right.
He was right.
Draymond Green has not missed when it's come to talking about the collective bargaining agreement and what this CBA and these aprons have done to basketball teams. Yeah. I told Kyle and Jesse a minute ago, like, I think teams like legit live in fear right now. They're scared of making that one deal or that one signing that could potentially hamper them for the next 3 to 4 years. They're scared to make that signing to where they feel like they can't dig out of this apron graveyard.
Yeah. Jason Jones last week said it best. I thought he hit the nail on the head. He said, it's given the owners and front offices an excuse not to compete, you know, because they're so afraid of apron rules and all this other stuff that they'll justify not doing anything, not making any moves because of the aprons and the penalties and all this other stuff. And I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I don't think it's just this summer was crazy. I think it is, you know, we talked about it, but I think it's specifically there's a correlation between the CBA, the aprons, and what we've seen this summer. And I don't think that's not changing for like another 6-7 years. So I wonder, as we've talked about it and seeing Draymond and what he had to say about it on Threads, I started to wonder, is this potentially a problem for the league? Not necessarily money-making wise, not necessarily like the players and stuff like that, but just the excitement around the league, interest around the league. We've talked a number of different times how the league has become a 12-month a year type of league. Like people are always trying to consume NBA content. And if you're taking away player movement and free agency and stuff like that because, you know, people are so scared, does that affect the interest in the league outside of when the games are being played? Feels like it would, but I don't know.
I don't think it would. Yes, I think it would over time. I don't think it will, like, right now. Like, I don't know that anyone's going, oh, man, the NBA sucks. I don't know that anyone's doing that. I think everyone right now is like, yo, what's going on? This is crazy.
Because one of the things that'll happen is, like, it's new. So we hear Shams and everybody, yo, it's going to be a crazy offseason. We lined up. We ready for it. And we see it's a bit of a dud 2-3 years from now. You ain't going to be able to sell us on it's going to be a crazy offseason.
Right. Like, yeah, right.
Like, I'm going to start watching baseball. Or I'm going to start watching WNBA or something. Like, because NBA, you're not doing anything in the summer.
Trying to, you know, like, because Shams normally isn't like a hype man like that. And I don't know if, you know, he's with ESPN now and he feels like that's just kind of part of the gig and that's what he has to do. Or maybe he got hip to the Dame Lillard stuff. Maybe he got hip to the LeBron James stuff and started to, you know, hey, this is going to be crazy. Those are two huge names. That's the biggest name in the league. Dame, one of the, you know, best point guards we've ever seen. And it ultimately hasn't led to anything. I mean, if Dame was healthy, this would be totally different. You know, if they had waived him for different reasons and were just like, yeah, you're not happy, we're not happy, you're free to go wherever you want to. That'd be massive. But there's the, well, he's out all of next year. You don't have to sign him. He gonna eat. He gonna be fine. Probably one of the things he wants to do is rehab where he wants. So there's no, you know, tie into, you know, any team that way. And I don't know that he's going to get signed this offseason.
I feel like there's no need for him to sign somewhere this offseason.
Well, there's no need for him to. But, like, a team could be like, oh, if the prevailing thought is, well, he can't play for us, and I feel like, hey, I got space. Like, no, you can sit. You can sit with us.
It would make sense for a team, especially if there is a bidding war, so to speak. Nothing crazy, but like if the Warriors, Heat, and Lakers all know that they're involved, like, yeah, I'll sign them right now because I'm going to make sure I get them. You know what I mean? If I try to wait just because he can't play, I may lose out on him, especially if I'm willing. Like, when he gets healthy, I want him on the team. So, yeah, I'd sign him right now, to your point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a if you didn't read through Draymond's threads, he was on point. Like, I'm past the point where I'm challenging anything that man says about the CBA at this point, because
he saw it immediately.
He saw it the second that collective bargaining agreement was signed, and he did say something fascinating. He was like, I should have been the president of the Players Association, and I can't remember who currently is.
He always gets to eat, so I feel like he may still be there. And there's somebody else there. For a long time I thought it was just CJ, but there's another player that I saw his name.
It's still CJ. He succeeded Chris Paul a couple of years ago. For some reason, I thought CJ was done in that regard, but
needs to be done now.
Like, well, that will be another really fascinating thing to follow. Grant Williams, first vice president.
That's who I was thinking of, Grant Williams. No wonder it didn't work out.
Mason Plumlee, Secretary of Treasury. Jaylen Brown, also a vice president. The makeup of Players Association, the things that go on inside a Players Association is it's fascinating. In Draymond saying, I should have been president, I found really interesting because I remember watching the WNBA years ago. They pulled up a collective bargaining agreement that was trash. Mm-hmm. And someone on that committee was saying, yo, this is trash. We can't sign this. The president was trying to push it through. And then it turned into an election where, I'm talking a full-on, Senate whip, where you're calling and you're soliciting people. The most powerful agent in the league was calling her clients, saying, do not sign on this collective bargaining agreement. It's an absolute disaster. We talked about this with the NFL. All of those players reacted. No one else read it. And if the person on the side of pass it called them first and got through to them, they passed it. If the person who said don't pass this collective bargaining agreement got through to them, they could win it over. It passed with the narrowest of margins. That vice president who was opposed to it was gone the next voting cycle. It's just like American politics. Like, it is bar for bar the same, which I say that to say Draymond would have never got elected. Like, if they thought he was opposed to what they were trying to do, he never would have got elected. Mm-hmm. And that's being that voice, Jerry Stackhouse used to do this. Mm. He was that voice who was like, hold on, player, what is this? Pretty soon, they got tired of Jerry Stackhouse and said, bruh, we didn't elect you a second term. Mm. Beat it. So I love Draymond's idea. I just don't think they would have let him through. That man was too loud and too right too quickly.
But to his point, though, if he was the president now, this wouldn't have worked. He wouldn't have made it to the next one by what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, he would have been there. Right?
Well, yes, I guess so. 2021, the collective bargaining agreement was what year? Do you remember?
I feel like it was 22. Because it was.
So I would.
25. It feels like it was 22 or 23. It's just
so early. My feeling is this stuff was on the table and they were aware of it. And what I have to wonder what happened, and I'd absolutely believe this based on the very little I know about players associations and professional sports. I don't even know that's very little. You know this, and most of the people listening to this probably heard this a million times. There's how many players in the NBA?
500 or something.
The smallest fraction you can imagine read the collective bargaining agreement. They voted by the way their players association rep told them to. Is this a good deal? Yeah, great. All right, you got my vote. Here, check. Leave me alone. And that's it. Like, people saw this. I don't think anyone
easily out of this.
Well, we're probably going to be leaving Michael Beasley out of a lot of things moving forward. But I don't know that any of them understood what this actually was in execution. Oh, aprons. Oh, no, this will help. Oh, sure. No, it's cute. This is like the dollar for dollar thing, right? No, it absolutely is not. The dollar for dollar thing is there. But, man, there are so many more restrictions. And now we're seeing, no one knows if Luka Doncic was traded because of that potential contract that he has coming up or if it was because he's, fat or whatever, they wanted to tell you about him. But when you ask yourself, if you're Kenny Caraway, the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, and you're asking yourself, can I win a championship with Luka Doncic? And Kenny Caraway has always answered that question, no. Why would you pay that man $300 million? Now, there's business attached to this. There's as James would say, there's the business of basketball. Mm-hmm. There's the business of the Dallas Mavericks. There's tickets. There's fan interest. There's fan reaction. There's all of that different stuff. Can you win a championship by paying that guy $300 million and continue to navigate these new first and second apron restrictions. And if, again, Kenny Caraway, the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, has always said, no, you can't. Maybe you have to make the move.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
I wouldn't do it, but it's crazy. Maybe you have to.
And even me, I don't even know if I would do that. I think what I believe, what I think, I would just say he's too big of a star to just not have on the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be like, probably not. Like, basketball-wise, like, probably not.
I'm probably going to lose without him. I'd rather lose with him.
Right. Right. And that's the way that I would go about it if I was a GM or an owner. But some of these people are looking at it, you know, potentially as if, like, no, like, I don't want to spend that money. I don't want to be in the apron, you know, just to get to the Western Conference Finals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cook in the chat says, D'Lo KC, do you agree with the impact the CBA is having on the NBA as a whole? Disagree with its impact, or is it too soon to tell? It's actually an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Because would you say that the players, even with the CBA, aren't getting their money? Because I don't know if I'd say that. I think they're still getting their money. I think it's happening differently. But I mean, contractually, it's BRI, which I saw an interesting article earlier today, but like it's still 51 to 49. Like the money is still there. It's just being allocated a little differently, wouldn't you say? Because the CBA isn't taking money away from them. Or is it?
Okay, let me attempt to answer that question with a question and turn this into a conversation. Why do you think Jonathan Kuminga's not signed yet? And I don't care by who, by the Kings, Warriors, the Bucks, I don't care. Why do you think Jonathan Kuminga isn't signed? Is it his talent? Or is it the nature of restricted free agency? We've seen offer sheets signed before. Mm-hmm. Or is it the state of the league?
I would say the last two, the nature of restricted free agency combined with where the league is at, the aprons, all that other stuff. So maybe it's like everything else in the world, like the middle class of the NBA, maybe getting eliminated a little bit.
Mm.
Because
man,
Booker,
what a
just
microcosm.
Booker just signed for, they're going to make $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
Over. So the upper class is fine. The Bookers, the SGAs, I know we just talked about Luka, but Luka's still going to get paid an enormous amount of money. Those guys are still getting their money.
Mm-hmm.
The guys like Kuminga 5 years ago or in the previous CBA was probably a $150 million guy with this extension.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that anymore. Like, we're not doing that for those guys anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it affects guys the most. Because even with the money that's being in and how they have to pay, the floor is still kind of going up, right? Like, you're Dennis Schroeder. He's making $45 million. Even if you think that's an overpay, like, he's...
That reminds
in
me.
In general, he's making $25 million.
Dennis Schroeder is going to be introduced to the media at 1. Can we try to carry that live? I assume it's going to be live somewhere.
So yeah, I'd want to hear what Dennis got to say.
So that's at 1. I think Scott's talking too. Can't imagine what that's going to be like. So we'll if we have the ability to, we'll bring that introductory press conference to you.
But it's like I'm thinking of like the floor, like a guy like Dennis Schroeder. I'll just say the $45 million is an anomaly. He's in a regular contract. Mm-hmm. He'd still probably be making $25 million for a contract. So the floor's gone up. But the middle class, the Kamingas, who you would think would be getting, you know, $125 million on a rookie extension, I think that's gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's a – well, I want these guys to get paid, so – like, I'm happy with that. But I don't know if that's necessarily a good or a bad thing that that's going away. I don't know. To answer Chris's question, I feel like it's a little early to tell, because another thing that you're having with this, and we've talked about it before, is you do have the ability for a parity type system with the NBA. And a lot of people believe that's the way to go. Like, get parity, get
sure,
you know, as many people involved that think they can have a win a championship, get as many of them as involved as possible. And for the league and league interest, maybe that's a positive.
It, in my opinion, it is. It's a positive for the league. I think it's a positive for fans of the league, but I also think there is a certain level of getting used to what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not used to it. Like, the best sign to what was ahead was the start of free agency. It started and nothing happened. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, we were dying to tell you that Malik had signed with the Sacramento Kings. It was a flood of tweets and alerts and all of these different things that this player has signed, this player has signed, this player has signed, this player has signed. 3 o'clock hit and we sat here like a couple of jackasses waiting for something to happen. And it didn't. And that might be a little bit closer to the norm moving forward, because it's not just us that has to get used to this, that has to get used to these aprons, this way of moving. It's teams. Mm-hmm. Teams got to figure out how to move within free agency now. Teams got to figure out how to manage these conversations. I mean, I'd imagine not just the game planning when that clock strikes, 6 o'clock Eastern time, but like, what do you do in the weeks leading up to that? Mm-hmm. How does the draft play into that? Yeah. How does draft day trades play into that? Like, there's so many things that I think franchises, general managers, front offices have to navigate. Scott Perry, the league's trying to figure this out. Scott Perry hasn't been in a front office under these new apron rules yet. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been away since the Knicks job.
Yeah.
So he, not that he's disconnected from the league, it's different when this is in front of you. Like, I can't do this, can't do this. No, I know you wanted to do this. I can't do that.
And it's like you mentioned, it's a new system. It's mm-hmm. not just this is how you run a front office. You're dealing with aprons and restrictions because you're in first or second apron is different.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different way to navigate. So I guess to answer Chris's question, it's too early to tell.
It's definitely too early to tell. But it's definitely too early to tell. But it's an awfully weird start to this time.
There are things that I don't like about the new CBA. My biggest thing is the restrictions. And shout out to Draymond, because he was on this immediately too. But the restrictions it puts on building a team that you
yep.
put together through the draft or something like that. Like not being able, like OKC and the Warriors to a certain degree, drafted all these guys and they're not able to keep those guys without having super crazy tax bills and all that. Or like, even if you were willing to have the tax bills, you still got to deal with the restrictions of what you can do elsewhere on the roster. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's fair or right. So that's what I don't like about the CBA.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Restricted free agency is a monster right now. Mm. And it's a monster that's just eating the restricted free agents alive. Like, I think it's eating up some of the vets too. Like Russell Westbrook, I confidently opted out. At least it sure felt like he confidently opted out of that Denver deal. Now we've been told since he just wanted out of Denver. Like, it kind of served its purpose there. It was mutually beneficial for him to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I absolutely believe there was somewhere else for him to go. And I'm still of the belief that there is a landing spot for Russell Westbrook. And I'm still very much of the belief if the Kings can do anything that moves one of these guards out of here, Russell Westbrook is in the plans for Sacramento. But I don't think you can bring Russell Westbrook in today with Malik and Devin and Dennis and Keon and all of these guys. I don't think you can do that while he's already while all those guys are already here. That just creates more imbalance. I didn't even mention DeMar DeRozan. Like, you've got a lot of imbalance here, and that doesn't work. At minimum, one of those guys has to go. We honestly thought there was a scenario where two of them were going to be gone, and that just might not be the case.
Yeah,
it just might not be the case.
I understand it on Scott Perry's side. Like, it's almost like what we talked about with the Warriors yesterday. With you messed up before, you can't just keep messing up because of previous mess ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So Scott may look at this situation like, I inherited whatever I inherited. I'm not going to make bad deals or bad signings just because it was messed up before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll relax a little bit. I'll settle down and evaluate things maybe a little slower than people want him to.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
And it feels like every team is taking that same approach. Slow down.
The Warriors are definitely doing it. Did you see that chart of all the moves everybody's made in the NBA?
Yeah.
And the Warriors are Warriors. Blank.
I caught that yesterday. I think it was during the KSFM show. And I was pleased to see a handful of Warriors fans crashing out over there.
Brother, it's been rough.
They've been crashing out the last 48 hours.
Just put out a little tweet with KC just saying his thoughts. Ooh, what are you talking about?
Oh, man. Those guys are funny.
I don't think Kuminga's provocative. He gets the people going.
I mean, he's the most interesting restricted free agent out there, isn't he?
Am I missing someone? Yeah.
Have to pull that up and see. I know there's some other restricted free agents that are just kind of, hey, guys, got anything going on here? We'll come back. Dennis Schroeder is being introduced to the media at 1 o'clock. We're going to attempt to bring that to you here live. You talked about the moves the teams have made so far. Well, what about the ones the Sacramento Kings have made? How do you feel about their offseason? We'll dive into that, and we'll open the phone lines for you. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Steeler and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh, KC had one of those moments, man. Go ahead.
It's a bad.
Go ahead.
No, it's a bad take, and I don't even want to say it.
Oh, it's fine. We give bad takes all the time.
It's a bad take. All right. Is Breon... Is Breonna Stewart a little overrated?
Yeah, that's a bad take. No.
Emphatically, no. I only ask because every time I watch Breonna Stewart, I see a great player and, like, just a matchup problem. She's tall. She can shoot all this stuff. Like, she's great. But I don't. The way, like you just said that about Breonna Stewart, I don't look at her like that. And saying that, I know her numbers are crazy. Like, all the numbers in the production are there. Like, I watch her and I'm like, was Breonna, obviously she's got the longevity. Was she better than Della Don?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Della Don was the truth. Like, Della Don was the truth. Mm-hmm. But nah, yeah, she was. I mean, there aren't many players that Stewie wasn't better than. Mm. Stewie's won like 7 titles in 12 years.
Everything's there. Resume's there. I'm just talking about, like, every time I watch her play, and I don't have Liberty League Pass, so I don't watch every game, but I watch her and I'm like.
I don't think that's a thing. It's fine.
Liberty Vision. But I watch and I'm like, she's nice. Like, she's really, really dope. And I know who she is. I know her accolades, but yeah. I don't I don't ever watch her in awe. I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Okay. Who do you watch in awe? Like, do you watch Asia in awe, or do you just watch Asia like, man, she's so
good? I watch
good.
Asia, and I'll be like, Asia's dominating. Like, she does everything. She's scoring in the paint. She defends. Like, I watch Asia, and I look at her, I'll be like, she's dominating. I don't look at Stewie and be like, she's dominating.
Really? You know what I think it is? It's racism.
Not at all. Not at all. Oh, I look man. At. I mean, and it's
nah.
A different
like
position.
I you ignore. I this is a tough take. Like Stewie. I mean, I can't control what you see when you watch her. I think a lot of what Stewie does though is like effortless. Like sometimes Stewie. I think 2 years ago averaged like 27.
It's all there.
And it never. And it was just like. Oh, did she? Damn. Yeah. She just made it look easy.
It's all there. I always, and I didn't feel this way about Dirk, but she reminds me of Dirk, like when I see her play. It's just kind
of who Deladon reminded me of. Mm. Mm. Of course, you know, Deladon came along a little earlier, you know, so that like Deladon's size and ability to shoot was extremely unique when she was at Delaware. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a few more now who could do what Deladon did. But Deladon was always the one that reminded me of Dirk.
And this is probably unfair because maybe I think you said greatest player ever. But, like, you talk about who I look at in awe, Diana. Mm-hmm. When I would watch her, Diana was like, yo, this is crazy what I'm seeing right now and what she's able to do. Look, the production is probably the same or close to it between Diana and Brianna.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a different feeling watching Diana than I do watching Stewie. So I don't know why that is.
You can rule out racism.
I don't know why that is either. I really don't. I just thought about it because I was.
Is it the Jokic effect? You know how sometimes we watch Jokic and are like, whatever.
Potentially.
But he has 30 and 20 and 19 or something in the game. And now, we've acknowledged how great Jokic is, but Jokic will also have those moments where it's like, bro, what did he just do? He just flung the ball up from half court like it was nothing and made it like, oh, okay, so he's Steph now. I don't know that Stewie has a ton of like those types of moments, but Brianna just makes the game look easy to me. That's how I've watched Brianna since Connecticut.
I mean, like, her ability to shoot at that size is just, it's unfair.
Crazy.
It's unfair in a woman's game. And, you know, she can move a certain way. She can dribble well enough. Like it's unfair in a woman's game right now. But I don't know. I think I was also watching Liberty Storm at 1 a.m. the other day.
Oh, okay.
And the Storm were just going on this tear. Where's Stewie at?
Mm-hmm.
She was out on the court. Mm-hmm. Nah, also, this is a different point in her career as well. Like, she's still an all-star, but this isn't prime Stewie right now either. I was like, where's she at? What's she doing?
How's this take keep getting a little more interesting.
Happening.
I mean, Stewie's.
She's an all-timer. You
said 12 years. She's got to be 31 now.
I thought she was older than that. But, I mean, she's an all-timer. She's one of the great women's players in recent
memory. So, why have you been trashing
time.
Her for the last 10 minutes?
I haven't. I just said I don't.
Racism.
Don't see her.
Black dads and white basketball players. Man, black coaches. Oh, don't get Kenny started on these black coaches.
I was like, man, I don't know. I'm just there's nothing to combat that other than when I watch her. She does. I'm not in awe of her because all the numbers are there, all the accolades are there. She's one of the greats. That's all.
I get it. Like I mean. I don't get it. But I think I understand what you mean by you're not in awe of her, but I don't know that there's a W player I'm in awe of. like they like the physical gifts of the WNBA players are a little bit different than that of NBA players. I can't do what any of them do, but the game looks different, and there are absolutely ooh and ah moments with WNBA players. But even the most dominant, and I'd call Stewie dominant at times. Like it just looks like a player who's better than everybody else. That's Asia to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. She's a player who is better than everybody else. That was Diana. That was Maya. That was Sylvia Fowles. Like, you know, some of the bigs of the past. But Stewie's nasty.
Maya. Coop. You know.
Goodness, they're showing. Ron. Was that Ben McLemore? Never mind.
Put him in the box.
Yeah. It's the last time you're going to see Ben McLemore on ESPN.
They're going Hulk Hogan him.
Man.
Damn. I don't know. I'm also partial to guards, too.
You definitely are. Yeah. So, you definitely are. They look different. Like, dominant guards look different than dominant bigs. That's true in the W too, in the NBA too. I mean, Joe's dominance. Joe scored 34 points per game not that long ago, but he doesn't do it the way SGA does it. Right. It looks very different. He didn't do it the way, you know, Mike did it or Kobe did it. Like, it just doesn't look same amount of points. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't look the same.
Jokic is like that too.
Yeah, Shaq, like 2000 Shaq, same thing. Yeah. I mean, there is an ooh and ah factor with Shaq, though, because Shaq is
like, that's a grown man. He just tossed the most out of the way.
Physically dominant human being I think we've ever seen in at least in our lifetime of professional basketball. Yeah.
Man, I saw a video. It was just a random video of like, oh man, this time was crazy, and it was the Russell Westbrook, Joel Embiid beef. Mm-hmm. In like a 3-year time.
You know what's funny is you were scared to say the word beef right there. That's hilarious. You were so scared to say the word beef right there. What a coward. Yeah. This is a terrible segment for you.
Still been watching your beef history videos?
Oh.
No. Yesterday, I did watch Untitled. Have you seen that version of their shows?
Which one?
It's Untitled.
Is that the Netflix ones?
No, it's my bad. They have the same name. Untitled by our people at Stolen Bases.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
It's their breakdown of, I think, players, great players who didn't win a title.
And okay.
Barry Bonds was the one I was watching yesterday.
Yeah, they got
it. I didn't finish it.
Oh, it's a single player per episode.
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Like they'll probably do one about James Harden one day or something.
Oh, man.
Aaron Judge.
Oh, what the hell?
What?
What the hell? Ring?
They did one on Dan Marino too. It's fine, bro. I watched that one.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Hey, by the way, I thought about you, Jesse. I don't think you won it. I'll tweet out the link though. Fanatics and Nike, they have a sale going on. $30 jerseys, and it's
what are they selling? Denver jerseys?
Hell of them. Hella Fox jerseys.
Oh man!
Like just everybody that's not on a team no more. For whatever reason, they have a bunch of Zion jerseys in there. I guess you can get ahead of the curve.
I wonder if I can get a Red Sox jersey with just the number and no name on the back.
That's how the home jerseys are, but they don't have that. They got the Devers on the back. So, yeah.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just trying to see if we can find this press conference. See if this press conference is
available. Eric says it's on right now.
Who said it's on right now?
Eric in the chat.
On where?
It's on where? We said it's on, like it's on TV. Like, where is it on?
I said presser going on right now.
Tell us where it's at and we'll go to it. We're live, pal.